Welcome to our third sermon in our sermon series entitled, Five Decisions That Will Change Your Life. Today's sermon title, Decision 3, I Will Apply the Slight Edge Principle. Open your Bible to Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, and let's begin.
O Lord, you work in subtle ways every day. You do good that we can see. And you do good that transcends us. Please teach us the power of persistence in good work. Free us from the myth of shortcuts. Deliver us from the illusion of immediate gratification. Guide us to invest in a spiritual life that is empowered for eternity. May Christ be glorified in this church. Amen. Several months ago, I met with, I think there are about 35 people in that class. On a Saturday morning, people who were committed to developing themselves. And we studied a book called The Slight Edge. It's written by Jeff Olson. Jeff says that he dropped out of college and kind of became a beach bum. But he got tired of seeing everybody else have money and him being broke all the time, so he decided to change his life. Went back to school, worked, started his own business, and did very well. And when his accountant told him that he was a millionaire, he flew back to where his mother lived and took her out for supper, and kind of bragged her and said, hey, Mom, I'm a millionaire. And she said, well, that's nice, son, so am I. And he said, oh, no, Mom, not in that way. I mean, I really have $1 million. And she said, well, son, so do I. And he was shocked, because his mom was a single mom who's raised three kids on a church secretary's salary. How do you become a millionaire on any church salary unless you're one of the scam guy, religious guys on TV? I get that part. Turns out his mother, from the time she was a teenage girl, saved something from every paycheck she made. No matter how tight it was, she saved something. And she invested it. And it created a trend in her life that resulted that by the time she was to retire, she was a millionaire. And Jeff used this story of his mother to ask every one of us to look at, how is our life trending? Have you ever just taken a moment to look at your life and say, how is my life trending? The good things, the things I define as good in my life, are they trending up? Or are they trending down? The things I really want in life, are they trending up or are they trending down? The kind of person I want to be, am I trending up on becoming that kind of person or am I trending down on becoming that kind of person? Because this is one of the decisions that we get to make. We're studying five decisions that will change your life, and paying attention to your trends and where you're going and what's happening in your life is one of the most important decisions you can make. So Paul said to the Christians in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. You cannot turn up your nose to God. I know it says mocked. I'll explain this in just a minute. Whatever a man may sow, this also he reaps. All right. Paul said, this is an area that it's easy to be deceived. So I asked myself this week, well, who's deceiving people? If he's warning me not to be deceived, well, who's out there that's trying to deceive me? I've never met one person who said, don't worry about it. You don't reap what you sow. Have you? I've never met one person who said, hey, lighten up. You don't reap what you sow. I've always heard from everyone, you reap what you sow. So why is Paul saying, don't be deceived? I think it's because we deceive ourselves. It's not that somebody else is out there is deceiving me. I deceive myself. I think I can use my life in any way I want, and somehow or another, it's all going to turn out okay. We deceive ourselves. I don't need to do what I'm supposed to do today. It'll be fine. Right? So this is really a warning against self-deception. It's easy to deceive ourselves that we can really not live the way we know we should live and not really do the things we know we should do, and somehow or another, one day we're just gonna radically change, we're gonna get everything right, and we're gonna make up for everything that ever we did wrong. Do not be deceived. Life doesn't work that way. And now let's look at this strange word. This is the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. You can find the English word mocked many times in the English New Testament. But this is a very unique word. It's only used one time. And it's based on the Greek word for nose, mukter. Don't turn up your nose. Don't sneer at. Don't marginalize this very important idea. God's design in sowing and reaping is a law of the universe. And if you sneer at it or you marginalize it, it doesn't change it. Do you get this? The things you do today will affect your life 5, 10, 15 years from now. They are not single acts. They are seeds that you are sowing that are going to grow and produce results. And you can sneer at that. You can marginalize it. You can ignore it. But it's going to happen anyway. Do you hear this, church? So Paul is making a very big deal. He's trying to startle us. He's saying, you've gotten too comfortable not paying attention to the trends of your life. Now, I want to startle you a little bit. You've deceived yourself. You've turned up your nose. You're the kind of person who says, you know, that's true for other people, but not for me. I'm gifted. I'm special. Right? So he startles us and says, stop deceiving yourself. You're really not that awesome. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. In our theology class, this is called general providence. God governs the world through general providence, and that is the rules that he creates. I don't care if you think you can fly. If you jump off the roof, you're going to get hurt. I don't care whatever you tell yourself. You may think you're Superman. Gravity will prove otherwise. This is the same kind of law. Do you get that? The same kind of law as gravity, the law of sowing and reaping, is the same. Now listen. We want to pay attention to the trends of what I'm sowing into my life, because they predict what my future is going to be. Let's ask ourselves some. What are your daily spiritual trends? If I ask you, how did your life trend last week spiritually, well, how would you answer that? For example, what activities did you do last week to grow your soul? And how often did you do those activities? You can make a whole list of activities you did. I'm talking about the trend for developing your eternal soul. What did you do last week? What was the trend line in your life last week to grow your soul? See, if you didn't do anything, you're trending down. You got that? If you didn't do anything, your trend is tailing off. If you did some very common things like meditation, prayer, thinking about a great idea that's in the Bible, those things are trends. Don't you find it to be so? If you don't pray for 2 or 3 days, it's easy not to pray for 6 days. Church? If you don't look at your Bible for 2 or 3 days, you're on a trend. Now it's easy not to look at for 6 or 7 days. How are you trending? What are you sowing to develop your soul? 2, what is your trend in knowing God? Do you know God better today than you did 3 years ago? Or are you just kind of riding on some Sunday school lessons you think you remember? Well, Doc, I think I remember a sermon you preached. Well, maybe that was Joel. I'm not sure. See, what is the trend life, my trend line in knowing God? If I'm doing this right, I'm thinking about God in proper ways, I'm coming to know Him better, and my trend line is going up. How about this? What is your trend line in loving your family? Would your spouse say there was a time that you were more attentive to them? Or would your spouse say, you know, it just seems like over the last couple of years, it's gotten better and better. What are you sowing into your family to produce a harvest of a family that is really a beautiful home? What is your trend line in friendship? Are you trending up as a friend, or are you trending down as a friend? What is your trend line in serving others? Do you get this? So here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, it's easy to become complacent. It's easy not to pay attention to the things we should pay attention to. The problem is, these things that we aren't paying attention to, they are creating our tomorrow. Your daily activity today predicts your future. See, here's what I believe. If I could see your trend line for the last month, I could predict what your life will look like next year. And you don't even have to be that smart. You could do it. If you could be brutally honest with yourself and say, if the things I have been doing for the last month become the established pattern of my life, will I be living the life I want to live, or am I setting myself up for a life that I don't even like? If you don't like what you're reaping, you had better change what you've been sowing. John Rohn said that. Pretty good, huh? If you don't like the way things are right now, you got to sow something different. Do you read this passage as a warning or a threat? This is kind of annoying to me. When I was growing up as a boy, this was a huge threat. It read something like this. You better not be deceived. God is marching around and he sees everything. And if you're not doing what he wants, he's going to take it that you're mocking him. And he's going to kick you in the teeth. That's the way I heard it. I heard it as a giant threat that God was threatening everybody. Hey, you better pay attention. I'm just about ready to slap you down. I don't read that this way. I don't read this as a threat. I read this as a warning. Listen, if you sow the wrong things in your life and you reap the consequences of that, that's not God kicking you in the teeth. That's you getting out of life what you put into it. You get that, church? God is not marching around slapping people down. He doesn't have to. Life does that. Act like a knucklehead, and there's going to be results that you don't like. And it's not God's fault. It's my fault. Right? Then verse 8, Paul says there are two places that compete for this for these trends. The one sowing unto the flesh, the one sowing unto his flesh, from the flesh he will harvest corruption. The one sowing unto the Spirit, from the Spirit he will harvest the life of the ages. Paul's making a contrast. It's easy to see what you're working for in your material life. It's a different thing to see what you're working for in your spiritual life. I read a story this week. This man and woman were married, and the wife's father grew old and couldn't take care of himself. And the girl was his only daughter, and she said, well, you can come in and I'll take care of you. So he moved in with his daughter, but it annoyed his son-in-law. He didn't really want him there. The man was old and he was feeble, and everything he did got on his son-in-law's nerves. Because he was feeble, at dinner time he would drop plates, break them. Wasn't unusual for him in his shaky hand to knock something over on the table. And one day the son-in-law said, I've had it. I'm done. And he set up a small table away from the family table. And he said, you're not breaking any more dishes here. And fed him out of a wooden bowl. So the old man sat by himself in the corner of the room and ate his lunch and supper every day out of a wooden bowl. One day the son-in-law came home from work, and his junior high son was out on the back porch with some wood and some carving tools, some chisels. And it got his dad, the son-in-law, interested, and he went out there and said, "Hey, son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm making some wooden bowls for when you get old." The son-in-law suddenly thought, maybe the old man ought to come back to the table. And maybe breaking a few plates isn't so bad. That night, the father-in-law ate with everybody else on plates just like everyone else. Because it dawned on the son-in-law what he was sowing, he was going to reap. Church, would you let that dawn on you in a powerful way? He said, pay attention. Are you sowing unto the flesh? That just means, does your best time and your best effort only go into getting material things? Look, I'm for material things. I live in a nice house. I drive the nicest pickup out there in the parking lot. But I don't want my whole life to be squandered on just material things. Because here's what happens. Material things corrupt. Is anybody old enough to remember the 70s? You'd buy a brand new car, and before you got it paid for, it was rusted out. I mean, fenders falling off. It's ridiculous. That is the nature of material things. Every material thing you have, except gold, and if you are like that TV actor, aren't you wonderful? I have stacks and stacks of gold. Good for you, Mr. Leprechaun. Everything corrodes. You buy a new house, 10 years from now, it's not a new house. Stuff has to be fixed. You buy a brand new TV, 5 years from now, it's junk because they've come up with a TV that's 55 times better. So here's what Paul says. If you're spending the very best time and the very best efforts just for material stuff, do you understand all the efforts of your life is going into stuff that's going to rot and rust and corrupt? Are you getting that, Paul says? Because it matters. And even if you hold on to it long enough and take care of it long enough, you give it to someone else. You can't take it with you. Is the trend line of your life only to produce things that are rotting, rusting, and corrupting, and you're going to give to somebody else, and they're going to put in the rummage sale about 2 months after you're dead? Or do you have a different trend line in your life, and you are sowing to your spirit? You're working on the true person you are, because that's the person you take with you into eternity. And that quality person pays off throughout the life of the ages, through all eternity. You get this? Paul says, stop being deceived. You got to be sowing. You got to be trending a fully developed self, a fully developed soul, growing into the person Christ created you to be, because that is what pays off big time throughout all eternity. Church, are you open to this? Can you hear it? Your essential nature was designed for eternity. And growing that essential nature is one of the most important things you do in your life. But how easy is it to get deceived and spend very little time growing a mature soul and spend all my time collecting things that corrupt? Verse 9. Do not give in to the bad. I know it says do not grow weary. The verb here is really based on the Greek word kakeo, which means I do bad. Do not give in to the trend of doing bad. Keep doing good, for at the proper time, you will harvest if you don't play out. If you don't loosen, slacken. Let's talk about this. Here, Paul is saying the same thing, but he's saying it in a different way. It's really easy to give in to the bad trend, isn't it? It just doesn't take much work to give in to the bad trend. That's why I hate donuts. Every time I eat a donut, I want to eat another one. Every time I eat a donut, the next morning, I want to eat another one. I have never felt that way about broccoli once in my life. Ooh, broccoli. Can't wait to have some more. See, do you see this as life? Every time I give in to laziness, it's just a little bit easier to be lazy. Right? Every time I give in to selfishness, it's just a little easier to be selfish. Every time I take the person, every time I take my spouse for granted, it's just a little easier to take her for granted. Do you see this? It's easy to give in to the trend of bad. So what Paul says is, when you feel yourself giving in to the trend of bad, stop it. And the way you stop it is, you immediately start doing the good. See, we've done this enough before. We don't have to, look, you just can't say yourself, don't do a bad thing. We would all be perfect. Our mothers yelled at us every day. Well, some of our mothers did. If just say don't do bad was enough, we'd all be good. You got to replace that trend with something different. And the thing we replace it with is doing good. Right? The minute my life starts trending toward the lazy, I have to get up that minute and do something good. Do you get it? I have to reverse that trend that very minute. The very second it hits my head, oh, I don't have to serve my wife. I have to immediately get up and do something nice for her. Are you getting this, church? This is what Paul is saying. Don't be deceived. Live in the moment of your life. When you feel yourself giving in to the bad, you stop right that second and replace it by doing something good. And you start the trend upward. Here's the second interesting word. It's if you don't don't be weary with well doing, for you'll reap in season if you do not faint. I think the English says faint there. It doesn't literally mean you pass out. I fainted. I don't know what was wrong. Overworked, I guess. Faint is the wrong idea. The right idea is it became too much of a hassle, so you just decided to relax. You just decided, I'm going to let up a little bit. I'm working too hard. I'm paying too much attention. This shouldn't be all me. Have you ever thought those thoughts? Here's what Paul says. You'll reap doing good, but the big obstacle is it's just easy to relax. Let somebody else do it. I've done more than my fair share anyway. Huh? Here's the second challenge. We like the instant life. Pull into McDonald's, shout at the speaker, pull up to the first window, throw your money in that window, pull up the second window, they throw a bag of food in your car, and you drive off. That's the way we want life to work. The trouble is, now all you have is a stinking bag of McDonald's. Right? You can get instant, but it's McDonald's. Church, life does not work that way. The very best things, you don't get to harvest the day you plant them. It takes time for stuff to mature. It takes time for things to grow. There is an enrichment period. So Paul says, you got to really stop deceiving yourself. When you feel the impulse to just let to do the bad thing, you instantly respond by doing something good. You say, I can't relax on this until it pays off. Because this kind of thing will pay off in a great way if I can just persist. Church? Like learning to eat a new way. I wish I could eat healthy for 1 week and then now I've got the habit down. Doesn't work that way. Church? Wish I could work out once a week and look like Hartsy wherever he is. Doesn't work that way, church. And it doesn't work that way in the human soul. If you're going to grow into your full, authentic self, it takes persistence. But at the right time, it pays off, church. Then he says, a ridiculous thing, and when you're thinking about doing good, do good to everyone. This is a little annoying to me. This is the part of the sermon that I'm preaching to myself. I like doing good to the people I like. My friends, I love to do good for my friends. My family, I love to do. But there are creepy people out there, and I don't want to do good with them. I have a soul to grow, don't I? I know Billy Graham would be better, but he doesn't feel good today and he's retired, so you're stuck with me. Listen to this, church. What kind of life would you end up living if you looked at everybody you met and said, what could I do good for this person? What could I do good? See, I've known people like that. They don't get their face in the newspaper. But when you go to their funerals, there are hundreds of people there, and you're going, where did all these people come from? And every one of them have a little story about how nice this person was to them at an important time in their life. Church? I've done the funerals of very wealthy people that almost no one was there. I've also been at funerals where people don't talk very loud, but they all have an ugly story about the person in the box. They all have an ugly story. You've been to those funerals, haven't you? See, Paul is saying there is a huge, huge payoff for the person who figures out every day when I do good to anybody I meet, I've sown a seed that's going to reap a harvest. I've created a trend that's going to lead to the life I want to live. The trend that I'm on goes to a place that I want to be. So, as we have possibility, let's try to do good to everyone we meet. It pays off. And then he ends it all by saying this, especially to the ones who are of the household of faith. We should be especially good to other Christians. All right, let's be brutally honest here. Brutally honest. You see on the news or read in the paper all the time about people who get in bar fights, shoot each other. Buddies hang with buddies in bar fights. I see it on TV all the time. These three guys squared off against these two guys or whatever. This guy shot this guy because he knocked his buddy out. You know what I commonly find in Christianity? Christians will listen to people say ugly things about each other and not stick up for each other. It goes something like this. Yeah, so-and-so, they're a little odd, aren't they? And you go, yeah, they really are. Is that doing good? Is that the trend you want in your life? I don't want to have a trend in my life where it's easy to say ugly things about other Christians to me. I do not want that trend in my life. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those guys, yeah. Church, you know what the trend I want in my life? You say something ugly about a Christian that I know, I want a trend that says, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way because I've found they have these good traits. Huh? Would you like that to be the trend in your life? When somebody says something ugly to you about another Christian, instead of you going along and getting along, you simply say, I have another thing I'm sowing in my life. And if you're going to sow a weed, I'm going to sow a seed. If you're going to say something unpleasant about another Christian, I'm going to say something pleasant. I'm going to especially do it for the household of faith. Church, how do you think that would all turn out? What kind of life would you end up living if you became known as a person who always could see the best in others? How good is your life that you are the ugly detector, that you can see the ugly, the broken, the bruised, the battered, and you love to tell other people about it? Is that any kind of life trend? Is that really the life you want to live? To be the go-to person for the ugly rumors that are floating around. Do good. It is a seed that produces a payoff that's big in this life and in eternal life. Robert Louis Stevenson said, sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. There we go. All your life, everything you do, you're creating a banquet. Everything on the table of your banquet, you put there. You get it? If your table is covered with rotten stuff, you put it there. Life didn't do it. Your loser spouse didn't do it. Your parents didn't do it. Your stupid job didn't do it. You did it. We create a banquet table of consequences. and everything that's on that table, we put there. If you want the table to be covered in healthy stuff, you have to trend healthy every day. If you want that table covered with garbage and junk, you get to trend ugly every day. Church, because here's the truth. We're all headed to a banquet of consequences. Those consequences are squarely created by how I choose to live my life day by day. That table is covered with the results of what I did that was good for others. What I did that was good for my eternal soul. What I did that was enriched by the presence of God. One thing I can't do is avoid the table. It's unavoidable. We all show up there. So then, do not deceive yourself. You can't sneer at life. The things you do every day are seeds that produce your future in this life and in the world to come. So, let's do good to all. It sows the crop that we want to reap. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this teaching. Thank you for the scriptures. I pray for myself. I'm tired of sowing ugly. I'm tired of sowing broken. I'm tired of sowing selfish. I'm tired of sowing corruption. I'm tired of it. I don't want to plant one more of those seeds. I want to start planting what is good and healthy and loving and encouraging and beautiful. I want to sow seeds in my life that produce a harvest of a life I want to live. I want to create trends that get me to a life that is rich and meaningful and purposeful. And I pray the same thing for everyone who's here this morning. By the grace of God, would you please grant us a new awareness to our life trends? And may we choose to do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.